I have no financial disclosures to report. So to explain the impetus to this study, I wanted to discuss three interrelated themes. The first is, just as we've been discussing how much opiate use is on the rise in this country, prescription opiate-related visits to the emergency department have been increasing at an alarming rate. So in 2004, there were, according to the Dawn data released by SAMHSA, there were right around 100,000 visits for prescription opiate misuse. By 2009, just 5 years later, that number was well over 300,000, so just in that five-year span. Carrie Chisholm, who's one of the thought leaders in my specialty, has described the issue of prescription opiate misuse as the number one reason for emergency department physician dissatisfaction. And if you're familiar at all with the emergency department as a clinician or as a user, you'll know there are many things that contend for that top spot. But many of us agree that the issue of opiates is really the defining issue of our generation. That is occurring sort of at the same time that the notion that the ED might be a place where we screen for high-risk alcohol and drug use and intervene on it is really coming into its own. So screening brief interventions and referrals to treatment, or ESPRT, was born right here in Boston at Boston Medical Center. And I'm just going to give a nod to Ed Bernstein, who is really the father of ESPRT in my field. And, 10 or 15 years ago, if you told an emergency physician they were going to be responsible for screening and interventions, they would fall to the ground laughing. You know, we were really there for myocardial infarction, strokes, and major trauma. We were not doing this public healthy stuff. But now there really is a dialogue around this, and it's sort of entering into what we consider part of our job in the emergency department, since we have such a great opportunity to screen and intervene. I will say, as a clinician, doing ESPRT at the bedside is a really transformative experience. You walk out of a room after a good ESPRT and you feel like you've done a powerful thing for that patient, even beyond applying that splint or writing a prescription for antibiotics. But that clinical experience has not been reflected exactly in our clinical research. So to date, I think it's fair to say that the impact of ESPRT in the emergency department on primary outcomes of alcohol and drug use have been modest, perhaps a little bit disappointing. Is that fair to say? And as a gender researcher, I have wondered whether designing gender-specific interventions for substance use would allow us to realize some of those results. And the reason that I think that is that there has been a lot of research on the many gender differences in almost every aspect of substance use. So everything from initiation, maintenance, progression to dependence and addiction, therapeutic needs, success of treatments, barriers to treatment, and important comorbidities, all very different between men and women. Specifically for prescription opiates, although the gender studies in that area are still emerging, it has been described that while men and women both initiate for basically the same reason, which is to treat acute pain, the reasons for continuing to use and to progress to misuse are quite different. So men tend to use really for the pleasurable aspects of opiates, and also to because of their positive expectancies around opiate use as far as social functioning and other types of functioning. And women tend to misuse opiates to cope with interpersonal stressors and also negative affective states. So quite different. None of that data has really been described in the ED population. So the objectives of this study were really to take a look at my clinical setting to describe differences between men and women in ED presentations for prescription opiate misuse. And also, we want to use a nationally representative sample, so we use the Dawn data set, which doesn't have a lot of clinical information. So as sort of a proxy for clinical comorbidities, we took a look at combination of drugs that were implicated in ED visits that involved prescription opiate misuse. We used the Dawn database from 2011. Dawn is the Drug Abuse Warning Network that is administered by SAMHSA. It is a sample of 24-hour short-stay EDs in general medical or surgical U.S. hospitals. Any ED visit would be included if drugs were implicated in that visit. So if you had a skin infection and you happen to have an opiate on or other drug on your list of medications or that came up on your toxicology screen, but it didn't seem like it really was contributing to the reason for your visit, that visit would not be included in DAWN. But if it you came in with altered mental status, it was thought on review of the clinical chart that it was likely that drugs were contributory to the reason for your visit, then that was considered an implicated drug, and that would be a DAWN case. Make sense? These are case reviews by DAWN staff retrospectively, so no speaking with the clinician. It is not prospective, but they would go back in and do chart reviews. What DAWN gives us is a weighted estimate of ED visits associated drugs for the U.S. as a whole. So there's they are supposed to be able to extrapolate the results to emergency departments in the entire nation. There are three categories of drugs in DAWN. One is drug abuse and misuse. The second is adverse reactions, and the third is accidental ingestion. Under that first category, drug abuse and misuse, there are further subcategories. They broke down into illicit drug use, non-medical use of pharmaceuticals, and alcohol use. So for purposes of this study, we just included cases that were categorized as non-medical use of pharmaceuticals so that we could really get at the prescription drug misuse issue. In doing so, that really cut out any visits that were related to suicide attempts, just FYI. DAWN, for 2011, identified over 3,000 individual drugs, and that those mapped to over 19,000 individual brands and street names. So I haven't named them, but kudos to my research assistants who went through and actually hand categorized drugs name by name over the course of last summer. The variables of interest were these. Demographics, which are extremely limited in DAWN, it's just age, race, and gender. Prescription opiates, which again, we were able to identify by hand categorizing those drug names, illicit drugs, and we excluded heroin just because we figured there was likely to be sort of a continuum between heroin and prescription opiate use, alcohol, antidepressants, and anxiolytics. Those were all created as dichotomous variables, yes or no, implicated in the visit. DAWN collects up to 22 drugs for each visit, so we're able to look at it. Combinations of drugs implicated in visits. So we took prescription opiates only, and then we looked at prescription opiates in combination with any of the other drug categories. I realized at the very last minute that I forgot to put up a method slide, so I'll just tell you that we first looked at these descriptively, just stratifying by gender, and then we developed logistic regression models looking at the outcome of opiate use and opiates in combination with other drugs. And the association of those with gender. So our final estimation sample was over 1 million drug-related visits. 39% of them included prescription opiate misuse, and that is about 425,000 visits to the emergency department in 2011. So I told you over 300,000 in 2009, now well over 400,000 visits in 2011. Again, just an alarming increase in visits. And I will just say for the two demographic variables I was able to look at, age and race, there were no differences between men and women. There were some differences in the proportions of men and women who presented with different types of drug misuse. Prescription opiates actually was pretty similar between men and women, but men were more often presented with illicit drug use, with alcohol use. Women more often presented with antidepressant use. Looking at the drug combinations, for opiate misuse alone, men and women were very similar, but men were more likely to present with opiates in combination with alcohol. No differences in the univariate analysis between opiates and between men and women for opiates in combination with illicit drugs, but women were more likely to present with opiates in combination with antidepressants. Again, no difference in between men and women for opiates and anxiolytics. We looked at some basic outcomes, again, a little limited in DAWN, and we didn't have a lot of clinical information about why you might be admitted. So it could be a medical problem, or it could be directly related to the drug use. But when we looked at whether you were referred to outpatient detox, whether you had either a psychiatric or detox admit, whether you were admitted to the hospital or transferred to another facility, and then if among those admitted, whether you went to the ICU, and then also looked at the patients who died. And these were just among visits related to prescription opiates, and there were no differences in gender. I will say that if you just look at the hospital admits or transfers and the ICU admits, those are just incredibly high numbers. So for both men and women, over 30% of them were admitted or transferred to another facility. And I'd say in the general ED population, you know, the admit rate is usually around 25%. Of those admitted, 20% or 21% went to the ICU for both men and for women, but no gender differences found there. So then we did two logistic regression, a number of logistic regression models. So each of these represents a different model with the dependent variable on the left-hand column, and all of these are adjusted for age and race. So for opiates alone, there's no difference, but men, the reference value is female. So for opiates in combination with alcohol, the adjusted odds for men was greater. And in the adjusted analysis, men were also had a higher odds ratio of presenting with opiates and illicit drug use. Opposite is true for opiates and antidepressants, where women were more likely to present with those drugs in combination to the emergency department. You'll see methadone. You saw it earlier, and I'm not mentioning it here on purpose, just because we have some questions about the way that variable was categorized, and so it merits review, and I don't want to announce any results based on it yet. For the logistic regression model, looking at outcomes, there were mostly similarities between men and women for referral to outpatient detox, inpatient psychiatric or detox admits, hospital admissions or transfers, or ICU stays. And the only difference we found was in death, where men were more likely, had a higher adjusted odds of dying among those who had ED visits related to prescription opiates. Obviously, many limitations to this data. It is retrospective chart review, as I've mentioned. Very limited demographic information and really very limited clinical information. So we don't know really a lot about what led to the outcomes or the presentations in the emergency department. So really just an exploratory study. I will say, though, that from the study we can see that ED visits related to prescription opiate use are extremely common. They're on the rise and the morbidity is quite high. We did notice some gender-based differences in prescription opiate misuse. So we found that in the emergency department, it was associated with antidepressant use in women and associated with alcohol and illicit drug use in men, kind of supporting some of the earlier gender differences that have been observed in prescription opiate use. I put a question mark as to whether or not this supports differences in needs during ED visit. It may be so. We can't say definitively for the study, but I think it's suggestive. And I am interested to see whether future effort to address prescription opiate misuse might benefit from a gender-specific approach. But obviously, we'll take future study. But I think there's enough here that I'm inspired to do some of that future study. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Chu. I think what you're getting from this is the different risk factors associated with different populations and the use of some of these databases and other screening tools to assess risk and intervene as appropriate. So as another way of screening for risk, we have something on the horizon called genetic testing. It's kind of new, but it does provide the potential for some value in a further tool to screen and identify people at risk.